Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, Syracuse has truly become a melting pot of diverse peoples from all over the world. In the last few decades, we've welcomed newcomers from places as far-flung as Bhutan and Burma, from Cuba to Somalia and the Congo, not to mention Vietnam and Croatia. But there's one thing, though, that all newcomers to our shores have in common. They all need good medical care. And joining us this morning to tell us all about her experiences caring for people who are new to America is Geraldine Hall, a family nurse practitioner with the Outpatient Medicine Department at Upstate University Healthcare Clinic. Welcome, Jerry. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, what are you doing? What do you do and how and who are you helping?
Well, at the Outpatient Clinic where I work, we see a diverse population of refugees from all over the world, as you just mentioned, and some of the countries, as you highlighted, are Somalia, the Sudan, Bosnia, Nepal, the Congo, Vietnam. We see patients from so many different areas throughout the world, and we're getting more and more as time goes on, and major conflicts happen in other parts of the world.
So, in other words, basically, it's a mélange. I mean, it's basically a true melting pot.
True. Truly, it is.
Yeah. So, and you work there in the clinic, basically giving them primary care.
Mm-hmm.
And is that, do you do that full-time every day?
Well, it's the refugee population we see is mixed in with a bigger population of inner-city folks. So it's a real combination of different people. On any given day, I can see people that from at least six or seven different countries.
Wow.
Sometimes it's a good third of the population on one clinic day where we see maybe a non-English speaking person every third patient.
Well, how do you handle that? I mean, how do you deal with the language barrier? Because I would think that's a major impediment.
A lot of some of the patients come with interpreters from the two refugee centers here in town, but a fair number don't, and so we have an international translation line that we plug into. It's a 1-800 number, and Upstate has a contract with them, and so we call this number and let them know what language we need, and they do their best to find an interpreter for us, and then we do a three-way interpretation for the visit.
So, for example, a patient X is sitting next to you, and you're beginning to ask questions, the history or whatever, and beginning the physical, and so you're continually repeating, or that person is able to hear what the individual is saying, and then gives you the information.
Right. We talk to the interpreter on the telephone. The interpreter talks to the patient in their language, and then the patient talks back to the interpreter on the phone, and that person talks to me in English.
Generally, how does it work?
Well, most of the time it works pretty good, but there are times when it's really challenging. For instance, one time I had a patient who showed up with, who spoke a language that no one spoke. The dialect was an African dialect that there was no translation for. But the son came with her, and the son spoke Swahili. And so what I did was find an interpreter who spoke Swahili, which is a pretty common African language, and the interpreter spoke to the son in Swahili. The son spoke to the patient, and I think at the time it was Kirundi, or it was some other dialect of Kirundi. And then the patient spoke back to him in Swahili. He spoke to the translator in Swahili, and she spoke back to me in English. So,
oh my God, that's four-way.
It was very challenging.
Very challenging.
And the patient was pretty sick. She had three major issues that needed to be addressed that day: with hypertension, a urinary tract infection, and I think it was pretty significant abdominal pain. So,
were you able to treat her properly then?
It took over an hour and a half because the patient was pretty sick, and the translation took so long.
But did in the end, did she end up faring all right?
Yes, she did.
That's amazing.
It just takes an awful lot of time to see some of these patients because many of them do have some pretty significant health issues, and translation takes much longer than just one way.
And I would also think in translation, they always say, you know, things change in translation, so that I would think there are subtleties about communication that are very hard to pick up when you have that language, intervening language, and especially if you've got a person off premises who's only hearing the words, maybe not picking up the subtleties or the nuances.
Absolutely. And sometimes the patient says that they speak a certain language, but they don't really speak that language. They speak an offshoot of that language. So the interpreter, there have been many times when the translator has said to me, she doesn't understand what I'm saying. I'm speaking the language, but she doesn't understand me. And it's because the patient speaks a dialect or an offshoot of that particular language.
Boy, that gets very complex.
Yeah, it does.
Very challenging. I give you a lot of credit. Yeah. So how about some of the issues? Well, first of all, how is the health generally? You mentioned this one patient had a number of health issues. Generally, are you finding people coming to this country with, you know, significant health issues, or are the majority fairly healthy?
It's a real mix. We tend at Upstate to get a lot more of the sicker ones. And the refugee agencies do identify some of the patients that need health care as soon as possible, and Upstate tends to get more of those patients than the two other sites that do help out with initial health care. So, I think some of them, all of them have to go through some initial screening in the camps where they come from, the refugee camps where they come from. And they have to go through chest x-ray and HIV testing and so on. But that just very preliminary screening. And then sometimes they get here and we find out they're pregnant, or we find out that they have significant hepatitis or kidney disease. I can remember one patient who, I went to see this family because the refugee center asked me if I would see this family even before they get into healthcare. I made a home visit, and it wasn't part of my work here. It was on a volunteer basis. But the family had just gotten here from a village in Africa, and there were three adults and the mother. And they were young adults, relatively young adults, in their early 20s, two women and a man. And the man had severe polio, so he was walking with crutches and a brace. And the two women seemed to be pretty healthy, and the mother had very high blood pressure, and so I made sure she got into healthcare right away at Upstate. And as it turned out, within three weeks, we found out that the mother had severe kidney disease, was on dialysis within a month. One of the young women, had pretty significant hepatitis B, and the third one was pregnant.
Oh, my goodness. So you really hit the jackpot on that visit.
So, and they had all gone through some, you know, basic screening, but that's very, very basic screening. So.
Right. So you really are. It sounds like you're very challenged. I mean, in a triage basis, it sounds like Upstate gets a lot of very difficult cases.
We do.
So how do you deal with, do you have a social worker who works with you? Because it seemed to me that when these people come, they have a lot of problems, not just health, and that impacts on their health, you know, finding good housing, there's an issue of sanitation, what have you, lack of education. Does that interfere with your care? Or how does it impact?
Yeah, it certainly does. It does with this population and lots of different people, but particularly because it's these people, if you can imagine what it's like to come from a refugee camp where you've been living in at either a straw-type shelter or tin metal shelter and one latrine for 100 people, and sometimes only one meal a day. And overnight, when you've been selected to come to this country, within 48 hours, you're in an apartment that the refugee center has set up for you, and you have a flush toilet, you have electric lighting, you have a gas stove, you have all these things that you need to figure out how to use. And they do get some assistance with learning how to do that, but you have to learn how to manage public transportation. You're plugged into English classes. There's so much to learn overnight, practically within the first 2 or 3 months. It's overwhelming for many of these patients. And then if they're sick on top of that, it's a lot to take on for them. And so we do have a couple social workers that help out. We have a case manager. The two refugee centers in town do also have assistance in that
area. It must impact on compliance and all of that. Well, I understand that you do a lot of this kind of work besides taking care of these kinds of immigrant populations, that you also do a street clinic, and that you, in the summer, you work with migrant workers. Mm-hmm. So this has been a particular interest of yours to work with people who are in great need.
It's a real passion of mine. I really enjoy cross-cultural healthcare and working with other cultures because they really teach us what's important in life like nothing else can. They teach us the importance of being present to the moment.
And it sounds to me like you've also, I've heard that you've also done this abroad. Tell us about that.
I lived and worked in a refugee camp for several months in the 80s where the living conditions were austere.
Where was that?
In Somalia, mm-hmm. In the it was about 6-7 hours from Mogadishu in a refugee camp of 100,000 people. It was a desperate situation. Many people died every day of malaria and typhoid and parasitic diseases. I was part of an international team there from several countries.
And you've done, you just got back from somewhere.
What I just did recently, my daughter and I were part of a sister community project to El Salvador, La Estancia Project, which is a project that's been going on for 20 years, and we've helped bring medical supplies and educational supplies to some campesino communities up in the mountains and interfaced with them.
It sounds like you've been doing a tremendous amount of very important work and helping a lot of people throughout the world. So I take my hat off to you, and I appreciate your coming in and sharing all this with just what does it do for you? Just in one moment, what does it do for you?
It's hard to say in one moment, but I guess the biggest thing it does is it energizes me. If anything, I think what's great about this kind of work is these people teach you what's important in life. They help me feel empowered to accompany them, and they're energized by knowing that somebody cares. Somebody cares enough to be present to them and walk with them in this new struggle and in this new life, because it's starting all over again from the get-go.
Thank you very much for coming in and sharing this information with us. My guest has been Geraldine Hall. She's a family nurse practitioner in the outpatient medicine department at the clinic at Upstate University Healthcare Clinic. We'll be right back after this short break with more HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.